Hi, this is Writer's Cast, a podcast about books and writers. I'm your host, David Wilk. Today is January 25th, 2009. I'm interviewing a new young writer whose name is Captain Paul K. Chappelle. He's an active duty captain in the United States Army. He's written a book called Will War Ever End? A Soldier's Vision of Peace for the 21st Century. Welcome, Paul. It's good to hear you today, and just to let the listeners know, I'm interviewing you by telephone. You're in El Paso, Texas. I'm in Connecticut, so if there is any noise from the phone, any kind of static or interruption, I apologize to the listeners. How are you today?
Oh, I'm good, David. How are you?
I'm very well. And I'm looking forward to talking to you about this book. It is really unusual, I think, for an active duty soldier to write a book about peace. That's obviously a question that many people will ask. I know people in the military who that's certainly been a raised eyebrows, let's say. But you have an introduction by a retired Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman, who wrote a book called On Killing and taught at West Point. So clearly, this is not something that the military is unfamiliar with, but maybe you could talk a little bit about your background and what it was that got you going on this path to be a writer. I know on your website, which I will also want to direct people to, it's called paulkchappelle.com, which is paulkchappelle.com. You have a little bit of discussion about yourself and your life, but maybe you could talk about that stuff and talk about that a little bit now, and we can go on and talk about the book.
Sure. To explain why I'm interested in ending war, first of all, war threatens human survival, and I think that any human being alive today should be interested in ending war, because war not only affects everybody, it also threatens everybody, because war has become so catastrophic and so destructive. 100 years ago, human beings were developing automatic machine guns. Today, we have enough nuclear weapons to destroy the planet several times over, and technology is going to continue to evolve exponentially. And if we don't end war, mankind won't survive. But I've been thinking about these problems for a long time. My father served in two wars as a soldier. He was in Korea and Vietnam. And my mother grew up as a child in two wars. She was in Japan during World War II, and she was in Korea during the Korean War. And I saw how war had traumatized my parents and, you know, almost ruined our family. And from an early age, I had this obsession with ending war and trying to find whether peace could become more than a cliche. You often hear the cliche world peace, but I wanted to know if that could actually become a reality. And but so, it wasn't until I went to West Point, I studied military history, and then when I entered the Army, and when I deployed to Baghdad, where the more I learned about war, the more certain I became that war could end. The more I learned about it, the more certain I became that war was unnatural, that war wasn't a part of human nature, that war was a problem that could be solved. And I think a lot of people think the problem of war is overwhelming because they haven't really studied it.
I think you're right.
War up close. But the more you learn about war, the more obvious it becomes that war can end, and that war is not natural, and that war is something we can end in the 21st century.
And do you think that, did you write this book, which, in the book you say it's a manifesto for waging peace. How do you think this book can contribute to ending war?
Well, the reason it's called the Manifesto for Waging Peace is a lot of people think that peace is the absence of war, that peace is simply, if war is not there, you have peace. But what I try to show is that just as you wage war, you also have to wage peace. Peace itself is an action, is something you have to do. It doesn't just come about because war is not there. For example, you can have a country that isn't in conflict with another country, but it's a very oppressive country. And I wouldn't call that peace. I would call peace not just peace between countries, but human freedom, civil liberties, human rights. Those things entail peace, which is what is conducive to human survival and a full and meaningful life. So in the book, I talk about how do you wage peace. Waging peace is basically the opposite of waging war. So, for example, if you want to wage war, then you act out violently. But when Martin Luther King or the women's rights movement or the British abolitionists tried to improve the world, they used peaceful action. So waging peace is a way to accomplish your goal through peaceful action. So if you want to look at someone who waged peace, Martin Luther King is a great example. You had people who wanted racial equality, but they acted out violently to try to pursue that goal. And you had Martin Luther King who waged peace to achieve racial equality. And the methods he used were very, very effective. I think this recent inauguration is very symbolic of how far we've come in the past few years. We have a long way to go. We've certainly come a long way because people were willing to wage peace rather than wage war.
I think actually it's a very profound idea that, and I think you're right, that most people don't see achieving peace as possible because, and maybe it's just that it's hard to imagine how it would be done, but I think in this book you give some very important ideas that help us recognize that people are not naturally violent. And if you, once you recognize that, and you also combine that with the idea that achieving peace requires action, this idea that you have of waging peace, I think that becomes very powerful.
Yes, I. You mentioned something about talking about how people aren't naturally violent. To answer the question of whether war will or will not end, we have to ask and answer much deeper questions about human nature. For example, are human beings naturally violent or naturally peaceful? And by answering those questions, we can learn whether war will end or whether war will just go on forever and humanity will destroy itself. I think a lot of people think those questions are unanswerable. Are human beings naturally violent or naturally peaceful? But the perspective and the approach I take, if you look at military history, if you look at war itself, I think the evidence is overwhelming that people are naturally peaceful. I can offer one quick piece of evidence. War drives people insane, first of all. I mean, war is the most traumatizing thing a human being can go through. And a lot of people never recover from that trauma. So if violence was so central to human, to healthy human functioning, where it's a part of our nature, it's something we just have to do, then why would war drive people insane?
So if you look at war
trauma, PTSD, as Dave Grossman says, 98% of people who go to war, they have a negative impact upon their psychological well-being. And the 2% who don't go insane after they've been through war, those people were already insane before they went to war. They were already aggressive psychopaths. So if so many people go insane because of war, I think it's pretty obvious that war isn't natural because it affects us in such a detrimental way. That's just one piece of evidence. And then once we can show that people are not naturally violent, we can also show why violence occurs, that violence is an anomaly, that it occurs because something has gone wrong. For example, people all over the world are sick. They're physically ill. They get disease and ailments, but it doesn't mean we're supposed to get sick. When we get sick, something's gone wrong. And when people become violent, something has gone wrong. Something has strayed from what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be healthy. Sometimes things go wrong, and sometimes we become violent because things have gone wrong. But unlike physical ailments, it's much more within our control to cure the psychological ailments that lead to violence. And then the second half you pointed to is waging peace, the idea that peace is something you do. You know, peace isn't sitting in a quiet room and there's no noise and there's no violence. Peace is an action. It's an activity. You wage peace just as you wage war. You wage war through violence. You wage peace through civil actions, through nonviolent protests, through changing how people think, through discussions, through action, basically.
So would you say your book, in a lot of ways, is a call to action? You're not just saying it's not just an idea, a kind of meditation on peace and the, or a meditation on the on human nature. You really are it really is a call to action then, if people are going to if we are going to imagine a world which has become peaceful, and as you just suggested, maybe it's a healing effort that has to be done.
Right.
That what you're saying is, though, that people have to act in order to achieve that.
Absolutely. The book is a call to action because to end war, we need a call to action. War isn't going to end by itself. I talk about how war is not inevitable, but at the same time, peace is not inevitable either. We need a call to action to end war. And that activity, what I try to show through the book, is that activity of ending war, the peaceful actions that are required to end war, are conducive to human nature. That is really who we are as human beings, those kinds of actions which can end war. By participating in those actions, we can live a full, meaningful, rewarding, joyful life. And if we simply behave according to our true nature, which often becomes obscured by ignorance or misunderstanding, we can not only end war, but we can also achieve our full potential as human beings. So certainly the book is a call to action to end war.
And as I understand it, this is just an introductory book in a certain way, that you have you have a whole bunch of other, I mean, you have more writing that you've done, I should say, and that you
right.
have a larger project that you're working on. That's called The Peaceful Revolution, which
right.
I believe it gives more information and more detail. But I think this book, Will War Ever End, actually stands alone. I think it's an important introduction to your thinking and to ideas. And I think it seems that it will, and we hope that it will attract attention from people because of this interesting fact that a captain, an active duty captain in the U.S. Army, has written this book. But do you plan on staying? I guess this sort of raises a personal question. You don't have to answer it if you don't want to, but are you planning on staying in the Army? Are you going to eventually leave the Army and devote yourself to a peaceful revolution?
I'm going to have to leave the Army. One primary reason is the amount of work this writing requires. It's too hard to juggle my duties in the Army and writing. The writing takes up a lot of time, but the amount of time that the Army takes up is very demanding. I go to work about, 5:45, 6 in the morning, and sometimes I get home at 8 or 9 o'clock at night. And trying to do that and write, especially the other demands that writing requires, if we're going to end war, it's going to take more than writing. We also have to take action. And those things would require me to work on that full time.
Well, I think that makes sense. I guess the other thing I thought was really interesting that you've decided to give all of your proceeds, all the royalties from this book, to nonprofit organizations that benefit veterans. I think that's a pretty powerful statement on your part, that this is really something that you're devoting yourself to rather than doing this for private gain. And I think that's really commendable. So I want to mention that the book will be coming out in February. Right now, a couple of weeks from now, it should be available to people. And but I also understand that you're going back. You're going to be deployed again overseas in March. So when will you be back in the United States?
Deployed to United Arab Emirates probably in March. I should be back in October. I didn't address one thing you talked about. You did ask me about Peaceful Revolution.
Yeah.
And Peaceful Revolution is a book I've been working on for 9 years. It's over 300 pages long. That book goes in detail of how we can end violence between countries, how we can end violence within society. And World War Ever End started off as an essay, taking one idea from Peaceful Revolution, the idea of whether human beings are naturally peaceful or naturally violent, and transforming that single idea into an essay. But the essay became too long to be published in a magazine, so it was suggested to me that I turn the essay into a small book, and that book became World War Ever End. And I think you're right that the book does stand on its own, because World War Ever End is one of the most crucial questions of the 21st century. And the book is a first step towards answering that question, not only on the written page, but in the real world. So this book is a first step along that journey.
Well, I think it's an important first step, and I think it is amazing to me how powerful this book can be, and I really hope that a lot of people will pick it up, because I think you really establish an important point, and you have to start somewhere. People really need to, I mean, there are so many issues for our world today. We all obviously recognize that there are many things going on that are challenging, but I think all of those challenges are opportunities for us. You know, we're given this incredible opportunity at this time in history to change the way things have been, and I think your book should be a fantastic contribution to helping make that change occur. And I really commend you for doing this.
Well, I hope a lot of people pick up the book. First of all, you already mentioned that the money is going to a good cause. The money is going to veterans organizations. But another reason I hope a lot of people pick up the book is because the book is very uplifting. The answers we provide in the book, the solutions and guidance we provide, and our discussion of human nature is a very uplifting, hopeful, inspiring view of human nature. The idea that people aren't naturally evil, we're not naturally greedy or violent, but we're inherently good. And to me, and I think to a lot of other people, that's a very uplifting, inspiring idea. You know, people want to believe that human beings are inherently good, that we're not destined to fail, that there is some hope for the future. And I think that appeals deeply to people's unconscious yearning for hope and for meaning in life. So I think that people will find the book very uplifting. And when they look at war, they'll be able to understand why it's happening to a better extent than they were before. And they'll also have more hope that the future can be a future without war if we put our minds and our actions to it.
Yeah, I think that's a great sentiment, and I totally agree. And I want to thank you for participating in this podcast. I want to thank you for writing the book, which I think is a really important thing. The book is called Will War Ever End? A Vision of Peace for the 21st Century. The author is Captain Paul K. Chappelle, and the publisher is Ashoka Books. And again, the website for the book, which I think is a really good place for people to go and begin to get an idea of how your thinking works and some of the things you have to say and some interesting essays that are not in the book, is paulkchappell.com. This is David Wilk for Writer's Cast, and once again, thank you, Paul, for being on this show.
Thank you, David. I really appreciate it.
All right, take care.